Now, before going into the four great reliances, I propose to do four things. First, I'm going to describe the general context within which both question and answer arise. And this will include a brief account of the previous chapter, also of the Vimalakirti Nirdesha. And secondly, I'm going to say something about the need for criteria in the spiritual life. So first of all, the general context. Let's start with the events of the previous chapter, chapter 12. This chapter is entitled Vision of the Universe Abhirati and the Tathagata Akshobhya. This vision, in fact, constitutes the principal event in this chapter. The chapter starts, though, the chapter opens, though, with a section on seeing the Buddha. The Buddha asks Vimalakirti, who in a sense, as you know, is the hero, so to speak, of the whole text. The Buddha asks Vimalakirti, noble son, when you would see the Tathagata, that is to say, see the Buddha, how do you view him? And Vimalakirti replies, we may come back to this later on. Shariputra then asks a question. He asks the Buddha, in which Buddha land Vimalakirti died before reincarnating, so to speak, in this Buddha land? The Buddha tells Shariputra to ask Vimalakirti himself. And Shariputra does so. But Vimalakirti, not very surprisingly perhaps, is not very helpful. He becomes very metaphysical and very paradoxical indeed. So the Buddha then comes to the rescue. And he says that Vimalakirti comes from the presence of the Buddha Akshobhya in the universe Abhirati. He is reincarnated in this Saha universe, this universe of suffering and tribulation, voluntarily, that is to say, not as a result of past karma. He's done so in order to purify living beings. He's done so in order to make the light of wisdom shine in the midst of the darkness of the passions. Having heard this, everybody in the great assembly wants to see Abhirati. So Vimalakirti, at the Buddha's request, shows it to them. And he does this by means of his magical power. In the next chapter, the first of those which go to make up the epilogue in Thurman's translation, were again concerned with the question of previous incarnations, on this occasion including those of the Buddha Shakyamuni himself. At the beginning of the chapter, we find Shakra, more usually known as Indra, the king of the gods, coming forward. He says that he has never before heard such a wonderful teaching as this of the Vimalakirti Nirdesha. And he praises that teaching at length. He promises, he undertakes to protect it. And from this, of course, we know that the sutra is beginning to come to an end. The Buddha approves of what Shakra, approves of what Indra, the king of the gods, says. He says that the worship of the Dharma is the worship of the Buddhas of the three periods of time, that is to say, past, present, and future. And he then refers to material worship. He says, suppose the whole great universe was full of Buddhas, as full of Buddhas as it is of plants, of bushes, and grass, and trees, as full as that. And suppose those Buddhas passed away. into parinirvana, or in ordinary parlance, died. And suppose somebody erected marvelous stupas for each and every one of them. Stupas made entirely of precious stones, each stupa as large as a world. And suppose they spent a whole eon or more worshipping all those stupas with flowers, perfumes, music, etc., just as I described a little while ago. They would gain, the Buddha says, much merit. But suppose, on the other hand, someone was to accept, recite, and understand deeply this exposition of Dharma, called instruction in the inconceivable emancipation, their merits would be far greater. And why is this? It is because, the Buddha says, the enlightenment of the Buddhas arises from the Dharma, and one honours them by Dharma worship. One worships the Buddha by worshipping the Dharma. One does not worship the Buddha by means of material worship, by means of material offerings. It's not that material worship is wrong. It helps to develop devotional feelings. But worshipping the Dharma is very much better. One does not worship the Buddha by worshipping his body relics enshrined in the stupa. The body relics are not the Buddha. The Buddha is not to be identified with his material body, even during his actual lifetime. The Buddha is to be identified with what the Mahayana terms his Dharmakaya.